All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast, Thursday, September 20th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is
James Davis.
We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. That's DFSR.com for short, /NFL or /NFL, whatever the hell slash way that goes. We'll get you a free three-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. It's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, MLB, NBA when the season starts. We have premium content going up, a couple articles going up today. Actually, three or four pieces going up over the next 2 days. Members-only chat, all covered in the one subscription package. Free for 3 days. Then just $29.95 a month after that. You're not going to find a better deal. I guarantee you. Go look around some of these other websites. They're supporting huge cast of characters. Tons of different like subscription options. We keep it very simple.
Yeah, but they're terrible deals.
What's that? Yeah, well,
they're terrible deals.
Yeah, why don't they come check out our deals? Upsell to like hear this guy's opinion and again, hear this guy's opinion. Forget that. We're just all covered in the one package. DFSR.com/NFL will get you started. Week three in the NFL. Week three always seems to me... Man, I'm going to sound very like Bill Simmonsy here, where he's just like, where he makes some statement about the thing that
is this the craziest
every year we forget this thing. Every year we forget about this thing that happened that I just retroactively remembered and then claim that it happens every year. Anyway,
so it's always easy to remember things after they happen rather than in advance to avoid them.
Okay, so good news. I'm going to say the thing before this then. Actually, well, maybe not. Week three, and I found this when writing the Cash Game article, is that when prices do actually tend to get back to normal, right? So the first week we have very soft pricing because it's just, you know, there's a huge runway on when they release the pricing to when the season actually starts. So and then the pricing is all very soft too, because why make things crazy and hard for people that are maybe just dipping their toes into DFS on the sites for the first time? So that's what you get week one. Week two, the pricing doesn't fully correct on some new situations for guys, right? Like, okay, we took, you know, some guys switch teams, some offenses look one way or look the other way, and the pricing corrects some, and then they're not completely. And then by week three, not for everybody because there's still injuries and things like that, but by week three, the players who are getting the majority of the touches for their team or usage, their prices have kind of come up to where they maybe should have been to start the season. And so now we're left with looking at players who maybe have run a little bad to start the season, had some bad matchups, whose situations maybe are changing a little. I guess that's a high level. It's kind of describing why I had a little bit of trouble maybe picking out some of the safe plays. And I do think that that's why we're going to see possibly some lower ownership than we've seen in past weeks. Like, we saw crazy trial week one, it kind of settled down a little bit for week two, and I think we now see this week where it gets really spread out because of the pricing. I know, yeah, I probably looked at this a little closer than you have so far, but you know, when you look down the list of names, maybe you look at some early prices for this week, do you get that same kind of sense that this maybe isn't as obvious, and I'm putting that word in quotes, as it has been in the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, one of the articles I'm putting up for the DFSR Premium this week is called The Death of the Bell Cow Running Back. And as I was looking through running back pricing, you know, in research for that article and just trying to figure out who the safe plays were, I realized that it was just very, very hard to find any running backs I liked at all, just for any reason, really. Like, it's basically just, and I know we'll get to running back soon, but like it was basically Todd Gurley was in the tier of his own as the safe guy, and then it was just question marks up and down the line. And we're seeing teams, and probably appropriately, by the way, from their own strategy perspective, making most guys at the NFL more game script dependent, and that's going to lead to a lot more variance. And on the same token, at the moment, we're going to be at the whim any given week of openings and opportunity. And I think for this week, you know, with some of the prices from, you know, preseason opportunity, let's call it, like James Conner, with a lot of that pricing getting tighter, Keelan Cole, you know, guys that just had very obvious increases in opportunity early on, getting their prices coming back to where they should have been in the first place. Yeah, we're settling into some tighter territory where you're going to have some unpleasant looking guys at some positions, and that's just going to be the way it goes, man. But
I sent you an email last night. I know it's not on the air, but I think actually you should rename that like the week three running back primer, because it's very detailed. I mean, you go into just about every single running back. I think like the death of the bell cow piece, which I want to touch on here in a second, but sure. Yeah, that ends up being just like a primer. It's like what to think about every single running back. So anyway, just something for you to think about.
Yeah, I don't read my emails from you. I just look at the titles and then I figure that I have it going. But let's get into the picks.
I'm going to go. I am going to, but I'm going to do it slightly out of order here, because because I want to prioritize something that you just said on Todd Gurley. So you typically we start with quarterback, and then we kind of roll back. We roll through the positions just based on like how they filter out when you actually make a lineup. I want to start actually with Gurley and then go back to quarterback, only because I do think Gurley this week is just a must play in cash. Like I'm starting there because I want to make sure the things are prioritized, and I probably could have waited to say it when we got to him. But he is just such a must play in cash at this point, I think, based on the running back usage from the other guys, that we don't need to go through all of his superlatives. It's pretty well known. This guy was, you know, one or 1A or 1B or whatever you were going to drafting in season long through the first 2 weeks. If you had seen how this was going to roll, you would have easily drafted him 1A, and I don't think it would have been anywhere even close. Obviously, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, tell a whole different story for players, and maybe people didn't see the Lev Bell thing coming out, and maybe people didn't realize just how bad the Cardinals are going to be with David Johnson. If you were to redrafting right now, it would be Gurley one, and then you would be pissed if you didn't have the first pick, and then thinking about who you're going to take at the second pick. And I think that his price has not fully adjusted for just how GD safe this guy is every single week, man. Like, he just, their team's awesome, the defense is awesome, they're gonna be able to get up on most teams, they're favorites, they're gonna be favorites in most games they play. Do you agree with this? Like, I guess I'm starting with him, and I don't want to go through like all the stats because we just have
no, but I, and I think, well, let's just do running back first then, because so right. This is fresh on my mind anyway. I do agree with it completely, and you know, one of the things I pointed out in our article was it used to be, I mean, you don't want to overreact to just 2 weeks in the NFL, but we're seeing troubling signs. Like, it'd be one thing if these other guys were getting 30 touches and just having an off week, right? Getting 80 yards or whatever, but the opportunity was still there. Last week was the lowest number of 20-yard attempt rushers in that I could find just going back, period. Joe Mixon was the only guy who had 20 carries last week. And
I have the number right now, ready? So the number was one from last week. If you roll through, if you look through last season, by the way, week one had five. And actually, that's even more instructive, because the one is a...
The number five, that was, I think, the third lowest from... It would have been second or third lowest
from
last year.
It was tied
for
second lowest of all the whole season last year. And by the way, those were on bye weeks. So, like, there was less teams playing. So keep going. But I think it is important to just know, like, just to say just how different this was of a week than almost any other week.
Well, you even saw, I mean, you mentioned some of these names already, but like, we were looking at David Johnson, let's say, and early in the season, we're deciding like, okay, Kamara or Johnson, you know, Gurley or Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. But the problem that we're seeing, like Elliott, I mean, he wound up with 22 total touches in that Giants game, but that was an absolutely perfect game script for Ezekiel Elliott. Everything went well for him to touch the ball absolutely as many times as humanly possible. And in the past, he would get 30 plus touches with no problem whatsoever. But I think these teams, you know, they're seeing one of two things. Either the guys that they've handed the ball to a million times are now banged up, which no surprise, like Leonard Fournette, or they're realizing, oh God, like, if we actually want these good players to be on our team, we just can't give them the ball 1,000 times. And so typically the way running back would work out is you'd have a cheap guy and then you'd have your expensive guy to pair with him. Or maybe you would go double expensive if there were two guys like Gurley in great spots. Gurley just stands alone so far ahead of the pack there. And you put that in combination with the fact that just nobody else, no one in this mid-range is really even touching the ball. And the guys that aren't even doing well. Like, there's two guys averaging more than 15 carries a game right now that average more than 4 yards per carry. Like, it's a crazily bad situation for running back. And when you already have a guy who would be a play regardless, you know, Gurley would be a play even if it was a very competitive field for running backs, given that it's the worst running back crop I've seen in my time as a DFS analyst. I think it's a no-brainer play.
And mostly just to qualify, it's worse because the teams are just getting smart about this, I think we can agree. Like, most teams have just gotten smart. I mean, this will be the last piece of this, and then we can go into some of the other guys. But if you look at percentage of the team's overall usage that running backs have, because this is the piece I have going up, trying to find breakout candidates based on how teams have been using them and maybe the guys have underperformed. So I'm not going to mention who I wrote up there. But if you look at the percentage of the overall team's usage, Barkley's number one at 40%. His team stinks. It's going to be very tough to play him week in cash. You mentioned Elliott at 39%. The problem with him is his yards are so low. Like, Dallas has gained so few yards that, yes, he's getting a crazy amount of touches, and they just don't go anywhere as a team.
Well, and again, everything went absolutely perfectly for him. So what happens, one of the main findings I had for my article too, was that a lot of these guys, their usage and how they were used was completely game script dependent. I wish I had the stat off the top of my head, but I think it was like, of the top 15 running backs, I think this was it. Of the top 15 running backs on opportunity basis last week, 12 of them, their team won the game, and the other three lost by a combined 7 points. So, like, right. if your team wasn't in the game, you simply weren't handed the ball. And a lot of the, and on the flip side, all of those guys who just racked up the targets, and you're like, ooh, Saquon Barkley, Chris Thompson, like, where am I going here? All those teams were losing by a significant amount.
Yeah, and that's the problem, too. Like, playing these,
are you just going to lose them? You're not going to get 16 targets out of Saquon Barkley if the Giants have him for a bit or ever up in a game. So it's
right.
Like,
so,
it's
I mean,
very,
he's
very
like one. He's interesting, but I get a little bit worried that, like, they just have other weapons. But anyway, the rest of that list, Mixon was third. He's hurt. Gurley's fourth, and he's had actually less yards, but he has more touches, and actually then the touchdowns are pretty important for him. And then David Johnson's fifth, and he just said it's embarrassing. This is an awesome stat. David Johnson is 35% of the overall Arizona attempts this year between receptions. I might say usage is targets plus receiving targets plus rushes. He has 35% of their overall number, and he has a total of 118 yards, which shows you how little they just haven't gone anywhere, and they're just like swimming in place. Anyway, let's go through some of these other running backs real quick. So I try to prioritize some cheaper guys because, one, I don't think it's worth it to pay up for the rest of the group. Honestly, it's a little different on DraftKings, and so we have to make some site specific kind of stuff. But I targeted two guys that are coming in as backups right now. We have Gio Bernard that looks like, for all intents and purposes, he is going to fully back up Mixon, or just come in and be what Joe Mixon was. They've tested this out in the past, and they have shown a few times last year where they actually were willing to give him the ball when he was basically the only running back. Like Jeremy Hill was out and Mixon was out. They did give him, you know, 10 or 14 carries in a game. So I think that that's going to be the plan. How worried would you be, though? Because I think for 6,400 against Carolina, who's like not a bad defense, I'm willing to take the risk, and I'm also just a little worried it's not quite cheap enough for Bernard. But at this point with running back, having looked at these guys, and the other guy's Corey Clement, and so I don't know if you want to, since you looked at a lot of these guys, maybe you can comment on both at the same time, and then we'll go to quarterback. But they look like they're going into a new opportunity because of injuries, and these sites have gotten a little bit better about pricing backups higher than they have in the past, so they're just not coming in at 4,500 or 5,400, and they have gotten some. Like, how worried are we? Because I like them from a new opportunity thing, and I'm also just a little worried that they're maybe just not cheap enough, as cheap as I'd like to see them.
Yeah, so these I think are two instructive guys for other aspects of the running back article I'll have out, and without giving the whole thing away, Bernard. So I'll start with Clement. I think he checks some more attractive box for me, which is that, you know, the Eagles are basically in the old just running out of guys category. And the fact that Clement seemed to be leading the team in snaps, you know, seems to be that fill-in guy. He was actually good when he was out on the field. You know, I really like that about him. I would be a little bit concerned that, you know, sometimes these teams that already do a running back by committee, it's just like ingrained in their DNA, and they just like kind of do the same thing regardless. And actually that brings me to Giovanni Bernard, because I worry that he'll run into the same thing. I mean, we've been down in the road in both different directions for Bernard. We've seen like Jeremy Hill go down in the past, and it would be like, Gio Bernard, dude, this guy's already getting 11 carries and 6 targets a game. And then he just gets 11 carries and 6 targets a game, and Joe Mixon comes in. And so is he just one of those guys that they're just never going to trust with 25 touches a game? But we've seen him have really big explosive games too. So I think, you know, in a world where you're just not finding running back safety really from anyone, because who are you going to play instead, I guess, is my other question. Right. If you've got some excellent, really safe running back at 7,500 that you want to recommend to me, you know, email me at james@dfsr.com. But I think right now, going in this cheaper direction, one of my major conclusions, and it's why I think Clement will see high ownership this week, one of my major conclusions was, like from all sports, when you're at a bad position, you either want that super high floor stud or you want to escape the position cheaply. And I think, you know, most of the time in the NFL, the way we escape running back cheaply is by speculating on opportunity a little bit. So I would be comfortable with both of these plays, perhaps leaning towards Clement on the strength of the matchup and the cheaper price, but I could be talked to either way.
Yeah, Clement, I'm only just worried about Wendell Smallwood. Like you said, they have brought in these guys. Even Smallwood did get carries last week when Ajayi went out, and he came back in. The latter came back in. And then Smallwood still saw some carries. This is one, I qualified it in the article. I just would like to hear any kind of news. I need to know, one, that Jai's out, because actually that's even questionable now. Yeah. And I need to know Sproles is out as well. And so I need, those two guys have to be out. And then even then, I think I want to hear something coming out, because this smacks of a situation where we go with Clement, and then they get to the first, they get to the opening carry of the game, and Smallwood's like, Smallwood up the middle for 3 yards, and you're like, oh, shoot, you know? Like, so I think that that's my only little concern. I'd much rather trust Gio Bernard. I thought about writing up a couple of the guys, like Tevin Coleman was kind of close for me. We'll go through some of the other running backs and why we don't like them tomorrow in tomorrow's game breakdown. So let's roll over to quarterback.
Yeah, let's do it, man. So here, when I first opened up this article, I can't say that these names jumped off the page to me. So,
right.
The first guy you listed was Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, he's a guy that you, in the interest of full disclosure, like one of those stock analysts, you placed a bet, I think, on Jimmy Garoppolo leading the NFL in passing yards. You got great odds. It wasn't like a 1-to-1. You didn't bet it against your brother-in-law, Casey.
No, it was like 15-to-1 or something like that.
A case of beer. So 15-to-1. Maybe 9. We did not see Jimmy G do anything like that in the first two games of this season. He's obviously a little bit cheap right now. But what's the case for him to headline your cash game article here?
Okay, so here's the thing. One, the fact that he didn't do anything in the first 2 weeks, I hate to make excuses about games.
But here we go.
No. Well, sometimes you have to, though, because you have to figure out why hasn't the price moved? Like, or what was the truth behind the performance, right? So week one, he gets on the road against a very good Vikings defense.
Yep, I'll
and
give you that for sure.
That is just not – that's a suboptimal time to play. And then his number one wide receiver just goes down in like the first 5 minutes, right? Without a real functional probably backup at the time in terms of like, you know, wide receiver one snaps that they had come through the preseason. So that's problem number one, and he struggles. Week two, they're winning, and he doesn't have to throw at all. And they just choose to run the ball. But the third thing, and the most important one, the Kansas City defense is horrible. They have allowed. Now, again, this is something where it's going to be interesting to see how it comes out in the wash, because they've allowed a million yards because their offense scores just like every single time they touch the ball. They just go 80 yards in 30 seconds and they just score.
Right, well, and instantaneously. Right.
Right. So that's going to come back down, yeah. Right, for sure. They are just simply not going to be able to sustain the peak Rams plus another half a team's offense that they're basically putting up right now in the first couple seasons.
Sure.
But their offense is great. I don't think there's any discussion there. Their defense is very bad. Like, they have scored a ton of points, and the games have still been kind of close, which is a real indictment on the defense because, like, the Rams have scored a ton of points, and their games aren't all that close. So the defense, now they might get Eric Berry back, but I think that the fact that the defense has allowed something like 120 more total yards than the next closest team this season. It's not even close. And so with Garoppolo, I'm looking at Garoppolo as a guy who I can come up with reasons for the first 2 weeks having maybe underperformed. I can look at a defense that looks, for all intents and purposes, like it is just bad, and it's going to be a team that's going to be propped up all season long by a very fast-paced offense that probably will continue to score. San Francisco, in its own right, plays at a pretty fast pace. I think that we're just going to see the ball in his hands a lot more. I think he's going to throw a lot more passes this week as they try to keep up. And I think his price has not moved because of maybe some context through the first 2 weeks.
Just not for nothing, but on the main slate too, the total of 56 in this game is the highest, higher than New Orleans, Atlanta, and eight points higher than the next highest game after that. So, you know, Vegas simply agrees with you that there's going to be a lot of points put on the board. Some of that is the KC hype train, but I think your point is a good one. I mean, we've seen the other thing that can happen with a high-flying offense like Kansas City's is, I mean, we've seen it go the good way so far where they're just airing it out and scoring touchdowns every second. When you're passing on first down that way and you're throwing deep balls early in your series, you can also just have three and outs. You can have really fast possessions in multiple different ways. So, yeah, I think increased opportunity, low price. I agree that it's kind of like a, you know, all those forces have combined. And if you believe in your early season analysis, and I think it makes sense to just 2 weeks in, then I think it's probably pretty sound. So after him, though, I mean, so Jimmy G, you've talked me into it. Cheap, good value play. Are there other directions we can go? I mean, is there a way we can pay up a quarterback this week? Are there even cheaper guys that we can look at? Who should I be looking at if I'm simply just too gun-shy to go with Garoppolo?
Okay, so I'm actually going to make a case against a couple guys real quick, and then to show you my reasoning, because I think there's definitely a price problem here. Mahomes has come up to almost 9,000 on FanDuel. And we have him, by the way, as the highest projected quarterback. So it's not, and I made
Look
a quick adjustment and took the L on that.
Stuff.
And he's just still too expensive for any quarterback based on the touchdowns. He simply can't sustain the touchdowns. Rodgers, you're worried about the health. Minnesota Cousins, you're worried about the blowout. Breeze, interesting case, still very expensive. And then kind of like, and there's six other guys I can say sort of the same things about it. And then I get to Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. So Watson, Okay, so I'll go backwards first. Wentz is the big question mark. This is his first week back. And do you want to play a quarterback first week back after ACL surgery late in the season? This is a very quick comeback. Like, so it's funny how to look at this, right? Yes, he's coming back from injury. You could also sort of say, because he got hurt so late in the year last year, you could also say he just missed the first two games of the season, right? Like, this is such a big turnaround. The ACL surgery.
I would frankly be more concerned if he missed the first two games in the season based on something he hurt in the preseason.
No, exactly. Like, I just need to get up to game speed. And he is coming just very cheap, $7,400. He's like the 10th most expensive quarterback on FanDuel for a guy who was, I think when he was playing last year, I think he was the number one overall fantasy quarterback before he got hurt. Like this, with relatively the same team around him in terms of pass catchers. Like, he has Aguilar, he has Ertz. You know, we talked about the running back situation. I think that Wentz, I can't imagine his price goes anything but up after this week, right? At worst, it stays the same. I don't think there's a situation where he drops to like 7,000 just based on pedigree and just what the Eagles want to do with him. And he gets Indianapolis, who the first 2 weeks of the quarterbacks have been unbelievably efficient. Now, Alex Smith bailed them out by just not passing anywhere last week, but quarterbacks have completed like 75% of their passes against Indy this year between Dalton and Alex Smith, and those aren't exactly names that ring out. I think that for Wentz, we're looking at a situation where we're just buying cheap because the price hasn't adjusted because they're like, ooh, he's coming back from ACL surgery. And I this is not maybe fair to say because every player is different, but ACL surgeries just like aren't what they used to be. Deshaun Watson is back from an ACL surgery and just is out running again as a quarterback. This just kind of happens now for guys. And the fact that they come back, you know, 9 months later, it's a major surgery. And is it anymore? Like, I don't really like for a quarterback, I'm just not totally sure. So
yeah, I think if your game doesn't totally rely on your mobility too, it's a lot less scary. So, you know, between the surgeries themselves and the rehab and all that stuff, I don't think you can be.
Well, you know who's not worried about it at all? Vegas. 27 total points for the Eagles this week with a lot of guys hurt. Like, Vegas sure seems to think that he's fine. So if you're and that line has only gone up, by the way, for the Eagles. It started at 27 and it's up to 27.25. So Vegas bettors, and maybe it comes in late and the sharp bettors bet this thing back down. But, you know, at the start, no one seems all that worried about the Eagles' ability to put up points with Wentz back. So, I'm kind of the same way with Watson because he's also a guy. He played the first two games, of course. Guy's still running a lot. Getting Fuller back clearly helped him last week in terms of just being able to throw the ball downfield. And I think that makes a big difference for how they're going to operate, especially if they're going to be able to get the ball to Hopkins more underneath, and then Fuller's going to be able to stretch the field. The matchup here is not as great for Watson. But I think, again, he's one that I can make some excuses for why the price hasn't moved all that much. So I think that's really mostly where I am with these guys. And I get that these are not names you don't like to see. And then you just need to ask yourself, do I want to pay full freight for quarterbacks that have operated at the very peak end of the bell curve of what you could expect for them to start the season? And I personally just do not. And so I think that it's sort of a mixed it's a mixed message about why these guys are in there. It's a lot about the price for the other guys and why I think we're buying low on guys that just have pedigree.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense to me. And I think, you know, you're not into Mahomes. I think, you know, the expensive quarterbacks this week, they've all got their own question marks. Like, quarterback as one of the highest floor positions tends to be a spot where historically people have wanted paid up. But, you know, I don't think you want to run Kirk Cousins in a game where he's favored by 17 points. I don't think, you know, well, we can talk about it. Cam Newton might be a reasonable play on DraftKings with the price there. I don't know if I want to go down the Aaron Rodgers. Again, like, if I'm going to be paying $8,800 to see the guy I want, or do I just want to stick with Mahomes?
He's already admitted he's playing hurt, and it's, like, getting worse as it goes. Like, that's not a guy. You can't trust him on a week-to-week basis. So, that's a guy who's
I think there's no question marks around these higher number guys. I think Russell Wilson, forget about it. So, I think, and then after that, you're in this kind of second tier, and I think the second tier is where a lot of the cash game people are going to live this week. I think, you know, even Matt Ryan is in the similar price range. I think there's, you know, we'll get to more intense game-by-game breakdowns on this once we actually get to it. But, hey, Matt Ryan favored by 3 points in the second-highest total game of the day with his lead running back hurt. Like, you could do a lot worse. So, yeah, a lot of good value at quarterback this week. It's kind of refreshing. Like, I kind of like weeks where you don't feel like you have to pay up top dollar and that you have a lot of pretty reasonable mid-range options. So so let's get to their counterparts then. So, you know, we're going mid-range at the quarterback this week. We've talked at length in various different weeks about how crazy the passing games have been this season. I mean, you know, multiple guys getting in there averaging 15 plus targets per game. we've talked about some cheap guys at other positions. Is wide receiver a position we can pay up at this week?
You can pay for Michael Thomas for sure. This guy's target share is just unbelievable to start the season. We've been bullish on him every single week, and he's basically paid every week. He's seen the most
all 2 weeks, but yeah.
He has the second most targets though, behind Antonio Brown, but the conversion rate. So I think the target share is going to probably stick somewhere in this range. It'll probably come down a little bit. The conversion rate will definitely come down. He's converting something like 98% of his targets or something like that.
I think it's 93%. 93% is what you wrote in the article. And even that, like, you and I wouldn't convert 93% of our passes throwing in the backyard. So yes, that number, right, I think will come down.
He gets a very high scoring game here. They've moved him. There's also something that's clearly happened for their offense in terms of why he's seeing a bigger target share this year, and they just moved him into the slot a lot more. I wrote this in the article, but maybe I didn't. Let's say this. I can't remember the exact number, and I don't want to look it up while we're here, but I think they're playing him out of the slot like three times more than they had last year. Last year he was out on the edges. This year he is in there, and they're just getting him. They're moving him into optimal matchup each time. You're seeing this actually with a lot of receivers. Smart teams are doing this with their best receivers. They're moving them around into all different places, specifically the slot, because that's typically where you draw your best cornerback matchup. That's like the guy's third cornerback or team's third best cornerback, because the other guys are quote unquote shutdown guys on the outside. But Thomas, moving him into the slot, has clearly played huge dividends. He is, I think, the safest guy here. It's a question of how much you want to pay. FanDuel at 9,000 is a tough one, though it's pretty close for me, just because I think he is safer than any other wide receiver on the slate. I don't think it's particularly close. He almost does fall into the Todd Gurley camp, for as far as I'm concerned, in terms of just a very expensive position player that you can play, has optimal conditions in a dome, maybe possibly coming from behind. At worst, the teams are putting up points. So I think Thomas is, and you know, Brown's not on the slate either, but Thomas is basically like number one in my mind. I don't think it's all that close in terms of safety for wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And, you know, Brown not being on the main slate helps his case as being the safest wide receiver by far. So, yeah, I'm with you there. So after him, though, you know, if we're going to be playing Gurley, if we're going to be playing Michael Thomas, we're probably going to need to find some value at the position. And, you know, for a year where just tons of guys are seeing huge increases in target share, we still have some pretty solid value guys here. Aguilar's a guy you wrote up last week. You played him, I think, in like 40% of your big tournaments last week. Mm-hmm. You're back on the Aguilar train after a fairly solid, maybe unspectacular week last week.
Yeah, he's another guy. Runs a lot of routes out of the slot. You have to say he's getting a quarterback upgrade here, going from Foles to Wentz. I don't think there's any question there.
But opportunity upgrade? I mean, you know, we often talk about how it's like kind of scary when a guy switches over from one quarterback to another, but you're not scared he's losing his comfort guy in Foles here?
No, they just don't. They're so thin at wide receiver now. I mean, unless he gets double teamed or something like that, I think that Mike Wallace is out for the year now. Alshon Jeffery's still not back. Darren Sproles doesn't look like he's going to play. He and Ertz are basically last man standing at this point. Sure. I actually don't think it's actually that bad of an idea, if you can, to stack him and Ertz in cash games, because I think they're going to see the overwhelming amount of target share from Wentz, especially if the running back situation isn't fully cleared and they're operating thin there. So you're probably going to get into a little bit of a price crunch at that point, because Ertz isn't exactly cheap. But Ertz was, I'm just going to combine him here because I didn't put him in the article, but I probably, or did I? Maybe I can't. I can't remember. I've written so much about football in the last couple of days that I'm getting my head turned around. But I'm not worried about the opportunity. I'm not worried. I think that it only helps him to get Wentz back. I think the price is still not fully kind of gotten there on him. Yeah, I have no real concerns at all with Aguilar.
No, I think he's a great play too. And to your point, you know, he also has this indie defense and they've just been chunked big time by I actually like the Alex Smith comp here. I think Aguilar will be running a lot of those same routes that Alex Smith was able to carve his team up on. And so the Wentz-Aguilar pairing seems much stronger than Smith at all. And then the other guy you wrote up was Allen Robinson. Robinson's a guy that we've had a love-hate relationship with in the past. We saw him garner huge target share for Jacksonville, switching over to a new team. You know, we offered some tepid optimism for him based on just being such a target hog in the past. We finally saw him at least get a ton of targets last week. Did have some, you know, I don't know if you want to call them big time conversion issues, but there is a rather erratic quarterback there. Do you like him at this kind of mid-tier price range as well?
He's one I really tried to not overreact to. He had a huge target share in week two, so I really tried not to go totally nuts on what his targets were going to be, because it did strike me as an overreaction. I don't really think I did. He just gets such a good matchup here against Arizona that I think you he's the I'm least excited about him, and it wouldn't seem crazy for me to have him just be close to a double-digit target guy going forward for the rest of the season. Not every single week. Like, he's not going to be, like, in the classes. I would put him below Aguilar in terms of just overall targets. But if he's just going to be the wide receiver one, he's shown the ability to be that in the past. If that's going to be where Trubisky starts to just go as a fail-safe sort of measure, then I think we're probably buying low on him. I really like the $5,400 price on DraftKings in terms of just if he's going to even, like, eight, you know, 8 to 9 targets, something like that, gives him a pretty high floor. And Arizona's defense sucks. The only thing you're worried about maybe is that the Bears get up, but the Bears' defense is so good, they're just getting the ball back a lot for Chicago. Yeah. So you can definitely tell I'm probably the least excited about him, but I was still just trying to find some mid-tier guys that I was just trying to find some mid-tier guys that I thought it would be safe to put into cash game lineups, because I do think some of the other expensive guys at this point are priced accordingly and have their question marks sort of the same way, that that quarterback does. So I think that's my case with him. You can tell that I'm a little more lukewarm on him than I was about some of the other plays that I wrote up.
Yeah, right on. And you know, it's worth pointing out here, I think, as we talk about cash game plays, that our system, just because we talked about Michael Thomas and not Julio Jones, doesn't mean it doesn't like Julio Jones too, right? Like, the system right now actually really likes both Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. It's just that on a strict value basis, they come in slightly beneath some of these other guys. And given that you can only play one quarterback and probably you can only play one top tier wide receiver, just because we don't have a double, you know, no-brainer running back pairing that we can play. I mean, a double no-brainer, like super cheap guys, you know, fill-in guys sort of situation. So if you can't play both, I like Thomas over Jones as well. And certainly over like DeAndre Hopkins. And I think, you know, I still think there's some other guys in this mid-tier that people are going to consider. Like, you know, I'm just curious to get your take on, say, someone like Emmanuel Sanders. You know, he was a guy we were super high on coming into last week. He was still pretty solid, still had that really strong target share, goes up against Baltimore this week. Nothing has really changed too much about his situation. Where do you rank him in terms of safety versus a guy like Allen Robinson, who, you know, only has that really that 1 week track record?
Yeah, sure. For our system's purposes, the problem with Sanders is I didn't really actually move his target share much at all. I kept him right around the same level. He just draws a really bad matchup against Baltimore. They're very slow. They're very good on defense. I can't remember exactly who he's going to draw in terms of coverage, but I'll look at
some kind of.
I'll bring it up as I'm kind of talking. But it's mostly just the pace of this game. I'm worried that we've seen Baltimore has been fine just running the ball, kind of getting the clock down. The defense is good. I think that's mostly what it is. It's really not nothing about him. It's more about just the matchup. Yeah, he's going to draw kind of a mix between Tavon Young and Marlon Humphrey, it looks like. Not Humphrey would be a much worse situation for him to be in because he covers a little bit more of the slot. So it's more just I just don't like the pace of the game. I don't think they're stand to put up enough points or just they're just not going to get enough touches. I think that's mostly my problem with Sanders.
Yeah, right on. And I think at the wide receiver position, you probably will see some spread in ownership among these middle tier guys this week. You know, we saw some rather chalk plays. We saw Chris Hogan week one, Anunma last week. I think you'll see a wider spread because there's a lot of guys that have pretty similar situations, but similar amounts to question marks. Like, you know, how many people are going to try to run Golden Tate against New England or just go back to Anunma given that the price has come back up? You know, we saw Hogan put up some touchdowns last week, but we didn't really see the target share. I think there's a lot of question marks in this middle tier wide receiver, and I imagine it probably just was tough to pin down just two of them. So curious to see where cash game ownership goes there. Let's move over to tight end, though, before we get out of here. Tight end has been, you know, the bane of most people's existence over the last few years of daily fantasy. But you wrote up to a couple guys that actually, like when I saw these names, I actually felt a little bit better about tight end than I did about some of the other positions. Do you want to get into where you're looking for tight ends this week?
Yeah, Kittle, and just in the interest of time, I wrote up George Kittle. Follows a lot of the same path that Garoppolo did. He's clear. It does seem like he's going to be Garoppolo's main target, at least he basically has been in the short term. We'll see what happens when Goodwin comes back. But it's just really the defense. You know, it's because it's also, see, the other thing is too, I like Garoppolo a lot. It was also hard to find other things you liked about the Niners, even though they're supposed to put up a lot of points in this game. They split the running back carries. The wide receiver situation is muddy at best until Goodwin comes back. Garoppolo has really spread the ball around a ton to receivers. I think he threw to like 8 or 9 guys last week, something like that, in a game where he actually didn't even throw that many passes. So, but Kittle, of all the guys that you can maybe trust on in terms of their offense and where Garoppolo is going to go, Kittle to me just strikes me as the safest guy. So yeah, he has 13 targets on the season. Not an overwhelming amount, but again, that first game against the Vikings was a tough one. So that's kind of where I land with Kittle. And they just didn't, again, they didn't have to throw the ball a ton last week, so it's not even a great comp for what his target share is going to look like going forward. So I think that's Kittle, and I made the case for Ertz already. I forgot that I had written him up as well. Ertz, I really often hesitate to pay all the way up for tight ends because usually you can just find wide receivers that are in better spots for around the same price, and you can punt a position that's wildly variable. Ertz, I think he actually is close to a guy that I would just be fine paying up for. He was a huge target guy with Wentz last year. He already has 7 more targets than the next closest tight end on the season. So he's 23, and the next closest guy is Kelce at 16. And then Jared Cook, but all the Jared Cooks came in like that first week. So I guess a lot of Kelce's came in week 2. So whatever. But Ertz is consistent, better quarterback play. I don't often say this, but I think this would be a week I'd be fine paying up for tight end because I do think stacking he and Aguilar, if you can do it in cash, does have a pretty high floor in terms of just overall target share.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good take on Ertz. It's funny, tight end is a position where, you know, you're always forced into this question, like, do I just want to pick a random guy from like the mid 5,000s tight end area that like was kind of good last week? That's right. usually how you wind up having to land. A lot of people tried that with Cook last week, and to your point, it came nothing close to replicating his week 1 performance. I think tight end is an underratedly game script dependent position as well. Both game script and matchup. Like sometimes it's just working and the team's like, whatever, let's just keep passing to Jared Cook until they stop us. And then the next week they're like, whatever, bro, 2 targets, you'll be fine.
Right.
And we just don't see that happen to like even these mid-tier wide receivers. They just seem to be game planned a lot more than like, you know, kind of pivoted to. But I think in Ertz, you have someone that is going to be so front and center in the game plan that it'd be tough to compare him, because oftentimes you have like these $7,000 tight ends and you're like, is he really that much different than the $5,500 guy? But I think in this case he is. So
let me just make one more.
Some cheap wide receiver options, I think it's a decent play. But yeah,
one more guy too, because Jack Doyle is a guy that our system kind of likes, and he actually has the 4th most overall targets. And the reason I did not write him up was because Eric Ebron, they're running so many 2 tight end sets now, especially in the red zone. And Ebron has been the guy who's been catching the touchdown passes. And when that starts to be the thing, I just get worried that that's going to be the thing for Indianapolis. So while Doyle does completely outsnap him, for tight ends, you really do need those touchdowns. Like you need that down and close kind of stuff to happen for your tight end and those packages where they're just going to be on the field and in places where, you know, theoretically, because of their big body, they're going to be able to catch the ball. And the fact that red zone looks have gone to Ebron, even though Doyle's like 3 times to 1 outsnapped him, does have me a little concerned on his touchdown stuff. And maybe that reverts and maybe we see it kind of go back, because if it did, then I think he'd be a clear cash play. But that was kind of why I didn't write him up. All right, I think we have covered it. We're going to be back again tomorrow for a full game-by-game breakdown podcast. That was a popular podcast last week and the week before. We're excited about the listeners growing each week. I think that last week's is going to end up being our all-time most listened to podcast when it's all said and done. So very exciting. But we'll be back tomorrow breaking it down for week 3. DFSR.com/NFL. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com/NFL. We'll get you that free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Go check it out. It's free for 3 days. You jump into the chat room. You ask our users what they think about the experience. We're in there all the time, too, with our buddy Chris Durrell. So you can go ask some honest questions. You'll get some honest feedback, and we think you'll be around for the long haul. Buddy, talk to you again tomorrow when we break down every single game for week 3.
Peace.